Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. Do you think that Giannis's brother on the Bucks sucks? Because, like, I do.
He's a hack.
I mean,
he doesn't matter.
How does he get that job? Because of his brother, right?
Yeah, of course.
So they give him a spot on the team just for the halibut?
Well, yeah, that was probably like built into Giannis's extension. Like, you have to keep my brother on the roster for every year that I'm here. So that way, you know, he's his friend, you know, he's his brother. He's got to hang out with him every day.
And then he's got another brother on the Lakers or something like that.
I believe that's correct. Yes. I think he's a hack too.
He's another one that's a hack. And then I think he's got another brother playing in, like, I could be wrong. It might be Spain that he's playing, or in the new African league for the NBA, which is starting up in Rwanda with what is it, 16 teams or 12 teams?
I don't remember.
The story the other day. You said you were going to send me to Rwanda as a play-by-play guy.
I said they could use some talented play-by-play voices for that league to get it off the ground, and I figured that you could throw your name in the hat.
I'd have to take a bunch of shots, wouldn't I? I remember my dad went there for a mission or something. He went to, like, when my dad retired, he went to Africa for, like, I don't know, 6 months or something like that. He was over there doing something huge. And I just remember him having to, like, get 50 shots before he went there. I mean, what could be worse? Like, what is going on over in Africa that I have to take 50 shots in my body just to go there? What is happening over there? You know what I mean? Like, it's bad enough I have to get 2 shots of vaccine for the Hanta, but I'm not going anywhere. Like, don't they make you do that, like, when you go to, like, the jungle and everything else? Like, in, you know, if you were going to the, like, Vietnam, or you were going to the Philippines or something, they make you take a bunch of shots for, like, malaria and everything else. I don't need that, Carver High. I just can't have it.
Nobody needs that.
I can't have it. But it's funny. I'm just sitting here watching this. This family tree of his that they're showing in the Bucks Laker game, and I'm like, how funny is it that they got his whole family, like, racked up like they're ballers or something? It's so funny to me. He's the only one that's good. I've never seen any of the other ones do jack.
No,
I've seen
he's
his
the
brother
only one
on the
matters.
Bucks play. He's the worst. Yeah. He's terrible.
He's not that good.
But he's funny because when they put him in, he gets like 6 fouls in a matter of 5 minutes. He's like out there hacking people. It's a tie game right now with the Bucks and Lakers with 2:27 left and a half. Looks like I'll be watching this one late night. I always settle in bed and start watching West Coast games. You name it, every night I'm like dozing off to like the third or fourth quarter, late of the fourth quarter of a West Coast game. I really am. Later this hour, Joe Lisi will join us. Go for the two. Joe joins us regularly on the bench. Anyway, so we were talking earlier about tomorrow's opening day. One other note, I'm on tomorrow 4 hours straight on Sports Grid on the TV side, 2 to 6. From 2 to 4, I'm on with Joe Ranieri doing a baseball special, and then the normal coast to coast from 4 to 6. We welcome in our radio affiliates right now, Sirius XM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, and Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have you with us. It's Ferrell on the Bench with Carver High tonight. And I was just saying that tomorrow I'm doing 2 to 6 straight, 4 hours straight on the TV side, and 2 to 4 with Joe Ranieri, a baseball special, and then 4 to 6, a normal coast to coast. So I'll see you tomorrow on Sports Grid and all of our different platforms you can watch the show on. I don't know if you know all those, but I can't keep track of all of them. I think I've kept track of all of them, but you know, Zumo, Stir, Plex, Sling, Roku, Amazon Fire, Samsung smart TVs, Vizio smart TVs. We're everywhere. We're unavoidable. So I'll see you tomorrow on there and the Sports Grid app. It's awesome. That thing's the easiest way ever. People are like, I have to go on one of these streaming services. Why can't I? Isn't there just like an app? And I'm like, yeah, Sports Grid app. It works too. Just click watch. Boom, you're in. Even Granny, when she's baked, watches on the app. Granny will eat some gummy bears, sit back in the rehab center in her bed, click on the app, and she watches the whole show sideways on her phone. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So are you excited tomorrow for opening day? Are you worried at that big number, the Yankees minus -177 against that tough Blue Jays lineup? Or do you think Gerrit Cole is going to mow through them? You don't think he'll have some problems with those big bats?
Yeah, I don't like laying 170, especially the first game of the year, because I don't know how long the pitchers are going. Sometimes these first couple weeks can be very tricky with how they're stretched out. It can be tricky. Sometimes the offense is a little ahead of the defense of the pitchers the first few weeks. It's tough. I kind of like the over tomorrow. I think the bullpens will get in the game, and there'll be a lot of action, but I think the Yankees will win against Ryu.
Your boy Drummond having a big night tonight for the Lakers. He's got 4 points in the first half and 1 rebound. 4 points and 1 rebound. What a nightmare. We'll tell you about all the opening day games coming up. So the Bucks lead the Lakers 57-49 at the half, and Drummond looks like crap. He's looks lost. He's not, you know, used to their rhythm, their, you know, clicks, their cuts, their screens, their movement, anything. He just looks lost out there. And he sat down at the end of that half, and he just looked frustrated. That's just all there is to it. And, you know, honestly, I could tell. I can read his mind. Because I play so much. I know I can see that. I've seen that look before with the guy that can't find it. He just can't find it. He's looking everywhere for it. He's not going to find it. Not only that, he fouled Giannis on the last play before they yanked him. And he was crashed to the floor. He's a mess. Carver High excited about opening day tomorrow. I mentioned again, just because I'm stupid and I want to make sure you are aware, because I know you're stupid too, that I'm on 4 hours tomorrow, 2 to 6 Eastern. I have no idea what that is west now. I think it's 11 to 3. 11 to 3. I got it right. I mean, you give me the business. So you give me the business that I'm crazy and everything else and slow. And then I got it right. You said my math is slow. You said I skipped a grade. I got lucky. I slept with the teacher. Half a teacher. Who was that? Was that you? You were talking to me the other night about Sammy Hagar.
I was saying that he could still bring it. He could still sling it. Yeah,
he can still sling it. But did you hear your boy Harp talking about Joe Musgrove? Like, if that guy ends up great out in San Diego or whatever,
he will.
Honestly, I may not be able to take that. I'm rooting for the Padres. I'm totally on the Padres. I like the ice cream and the baseball caps out in left field with the sprinkles. I ate 9 of them at one game out there last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was. I think it was 2019. I ate 9 of them. 9 baseball caps filled with ice cream. Oh, man. I was on a tear that night. I smoked a thumb the size of my leg before I went to that game, and I ate ice cream for 4 hours. It was awesome. I got so fat. It was awesome. Anyway, who are they playing tomorrow? Here we go. They're playing the Diamondbacks at Petco. Can you imagine? And that's a 1 o'clock game at Petco in the sunshine. Oh, the Diamondbacks are doomed. San Diego, the heavy favorite, minus 220. Here we go. The Orioles and Red Sox, Boston minus 160. I wouldn't, you know, obviously I bet on the Red Sox, but like that's just a game I don't want to watch. They both suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not fooled by the Red Sox name.
I can't lay 162 with the Red Sox. I think they're going to be awful this year. Like, really bad. I know the Orioles are bad, too. There's so many bad teams.
Well, didn't you see the Orioles had a 0% chance to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I know.
Remember we did that on Coast to Coast? Pirates and Cubs. The Cubs are minus 213 at Wrigley. I would love to see the Pirates win that game, but I'm betting on the Cubs. Dodgers and Rockies at Rotto, at Coors, and the Dodgers are, you know, over 2-1. I still think they're going to win. I don't care. The Rockies, they got rid of Arenado. I mean, what do they have left? I don't care, Carver High, what they did in spring training either. All these idiots that fall for that business. That, you know, spring training dictates how your season's going to go.
Big man hit ball far.
That was, what was the guy's name? Brockmeyer.
Big man hit ball far.
Indians and Tigers in Detroit. I actually bet on the Tigers. Can you imagine? How about Miggy with a big day?
He's like Ben healthy. Affleck's depressing directorial debut. That one is going to be gone.
I could have sworn I heard him. Anyway, I think it's the one day a year Miggy's healthy. Anything could happen.
My goodness, Chilcutt pathetically waved at that one like he just recognized his ex-girlfriend across the bar.
That is awesome, you boy. Listen to your boy. Twins and Brewers in Brewtown. I actually took the Twins on the road there, Carver High.
Did you?
Yes, sir. Braves, Phillies in Philadelphia. I took the Braves on the road there, Carver High. Who do you like?
I like the over in that game, too. I like a lot of totals tomorrow. I just feel like the starters aren't going to go very far. Most of these bullpens are junk, and they're not ready yet, and some guys are going to get racked. A seven's a low number, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of runs late in some of these games.
Cardinals and Reds in the Queen City. Rays and Marlins down in Florida. Did you see they named the Marlins yes. Park again? They named it the Lone Depot Park or something?
Yes, that's correct.
The mortgage lender is now the name of the stadium. What a misfortune that turned into. It was all perfect. They had it perfect. And then somebody effed it up. I'm glad they made money because that'll pay the bills, right? That deal. I wonder if they get lower mortgages because of it. You know what I mean? Like a deal on their mortgage, maybe a refi.
Possible.
I mean, I think, how do you think she'll do down there, Ning? I actually think she's going to do great. I wonder if she got a refi, you know, out of the deal. Maybe she cut the deal. Millions she made them. Yeah.
I just think that they're getting, once again, extremely overlooked.
Disrespected.
I do believe that. They have some really good young arms. And I know it was only 60 games and it was a weird season, but they did make the playoffs and they played well. I think that they're going to – I love that 71.5. I told you today, that sheet of integrity, that's my favorite over. My favorite over is the Marlins over 71.5 this year.
Do you think how cool is Donnie Baseball?
Like, legend.
Remember, I mean, he obviously is a legend. But I think he's doing way better there than he ever did in Lipstick City. And I think, you know, with the Dodgers, I think he's doing great in Miami. And I think at the end of the day, it's because, you know, as he got older, he got cooler. You remember when he played, how cool he was? He'd like go over to the stands and eat popcorn out of a kid's, you know, popcorn box. And he was just Donnie Baseball. He had the eye, you know, the black eye stuff under his eyes. He had the whole thing going, Carver High. I think he's back to being cool again. Like last year when they made the playoffs, it made him cool again. Your boy Donnie Baseball.
So speaking of baseball, and we were just talking to Harp about this, breaking news for you, Scotty. The breaking news meter is off. Francisco Lindor, 10 years, $341 million. So they met in the middle. 10 years, $341 million. He will be staying with the New York Mets.
So who wins? Isn't that a game closest to the pen? Didn't I say 350?
I believe you were right in that area, you said to Harp. You were in the 350 area, yes.
Boom, baby! I gave you the closest to the pen right there, Carver High. That's like at the Cape Cod Open. Closest to the pen is worth like a case of JMO or something, right?
Yeah, it's worth a couple shorties. A couple shorties.
All right. There's a deal for Lindor tonight. Finally, 10 years, 341, styling. Rangers and Royals tomorrow. Kauffman, Kansas City favored. Mets, Nationals, DeGrom against Scherzer. Didn't like Scherzer the last time he opened the season? His like arm fell off or something. You remember? Carver High wishing ill will on Max Scherzer again this year. It's unbelievable.
No, I got him in a couple fantasy teams. I hope he does well.
Actually, he's wishing ill will on Jacob DeGrom and the Mets because he's a diehard Yankee fan. Hates them, Mother Forellers. There's more games. I'll tell you about them. Plus your boy Joe Lisi next. Watching L.A., the Kings up 2-1 on the Vegas Golden Knights wearing their April Fool's Calgary Flame jerseys tonight. Carver High, you know which jersey I'm talking about that the Flames wear, those red ones?
Oh, I know exactly which ones you're talking about. I'm well aware.
Tell me Vegas doesn't look like they're wearing those tonight.
Yes, I've seen these red Vegas jerseys before. They are... I don't have any idea why they're wearing them or why they came up. They're wearing four different jerseys this year. They got those gold ones too that they busted out.
Should be illegal
as well. They got a lot of different threads this year. A lot.
I don't think they should be allowed to wear that many jerseys or those stupid Notre Dame helmets either. But I love the flowers.
They wore those last night.
I draw the line.
They wore the Notre Dame helmets last night.
All right, look who it is. Gopher to two, your boy, everybody's favorite, Joe Lisi, is back on the bench. And we're going to talk about whatever we want and some college basketball Final Four. How you doing, Joe?
Doing well, Scotty. Nothing better, right? Final Four on tap this Saturday. We got some NFL Pro Days. Doesn't get better than this.
You know, screw those stupid pro days. Let's talk about something that matters. I have seasons for the Steelers, right? And I get to see them play Seattle and Russell Wilson on their 17th game. What do you think of the league having 17 games now?
I like it. Now, I know from the players' perspective, the wear and tear on the bodies and everything, I get it. But as guys that like to gamble on the sport, and, you know, I gamble on two cockroaches playing football, so give me an extra week of the NFL regular season, nothing better than that. So I'm very excited that the NFL opted for week 17.
Isn't preseason football pretty much like an ex-wife? I think it's the worst thing ever in terms of, you know, sports. I can't get into it. I think it's by the, you know, the fifth week it had after they have the Hall of Fame game, then they have 4 weeks. All I know is for five weeks we watch that and I want to jump off a bridge. It's so boring. It's so bad. It's so awful. Why not just play regular season games, more of those and less of those stupid games?
Well, I have to be honest. If anybody watches the preseason games, it is me because I like to see those college guys that latch on to teams, so those third stringers, fourth stringers. I'm not going to lie to you. I watch preseason football all the time, but I get it. You know, it's not as smooth, not as fluid as watching regular season football with the starters out there, but it is football, right? I mean, if you said, give me baseball or give me preseason football, I'm taking preseason football over baseball any day.
Carver, hi. How do you feel about that?
I do not like any form of preseason whatsoever. I think it should be completely abolished. And that goes for every sport. There should be no spring training. There should be no training camp. There should be no nothing. They should just start playing real games. Show up and practice for a week and play the games. Let's go.
That's what college football does and college basketball. They just play. Now, I know they say they have exhibitions when they play like the Bulgarian team in their building or whatever. But like I actually think that game counts. All I know is I think it's boring, but it is what it is. I mean, I have Steeler tickets for those games. I couldn't give them away. I mean, homeless people turned me down for those tickets. I'm like, oh, here, dude, you want these two beautiful seats to the Steeler game today? He's like, gives me the finger, says, let me borrow your girlfriend. And I'm like, whoa, I just was offering you Steeler tickets. I'm good, bro. Preseason game. All right, so, Joe, let's talk about the Final Four. What do you think the Bruins' chances are against Gonzaga after Gonzaga just did USC in their garage door?
I think they have a good shot to cover this number. I think the one thing that they have going on their side is confidence. I mean, you knock off Michigan. I mean, look at the run that they've had up until this point. And, you know, that's the biggest thing when you go up against the top team in the country is, you know, do you feel that you can go toe-to-toe with them? Obviously, Ju Zhang is going to have to step up with a big night. But again, I mean, they're athletic, you know, and as long as they can jump up early, dictate the tempo, that's something USC didn't do. I think they could cover this number. Now, pulling out this victory as an 800, you know, money line underdog, I'm not so sure. But I'd love to see them do it. I think I like both underdogs in these Final Four, so I'm rolling with the Bruins and the Cougars here.
Whoa. Whoa, stop the press. He's taking both dogs. Listen to Carver High. He's over there. Carver High, he's reaching for a can of Bud Light, and it's not a 12-ouncer. I'm talking about Vegas-sized can of beer. I mean, the size of, like, honestly, the size of your forearm. Listen to him. He's pouring a forearm-sized freshie after hearing Joe Fertitulisi just drop a massive bomb on the air that he's going both dogs, double dog dare you, on a double Dutch bus for the Final Four. Joe going off, getting involved. Do you think anyone on Houston's going to be able to handle that Mitchell Gardnum? He's like a hornet.
He is. But I mean, Grimes is good. Sasser. I mean, Giroux. I mean, they're an athletic bunch. White coming off the bench. I like Houston. I picked Houston to win it all. I'm not backing down now. I love the way they're playing. I understand the level of competition. Getting Oregon State, but let's roll, baby. I'm going with Mattress Mac. I put it out there. Oh. Houston outright over Baylor. Let's go. Yes, let's go, Scotty.
They love Mac. They love him here. I remember. Do you remember Carver when he like bet millions on the Super Bowl or whatever? They had me interviewing him, and like he was betting millions then. And then ever since, he's bet millions on everything. That guy bets. I mean, that guy, when he's in Vegas, he bets on the husband and wife going to the bathroom at the same time, who comes out first. I mean, your boy, he bets on everything. So you actually think the Cougs are going to play Gonzaga in the championship game?
Yeah, well, I mean, I had my breakdown was Alabama versus Houston, but I'm rooting for UCLA. I'm taking both dogs. I like Houston outright on the money line plus 180 over Baylor.
And then, but you think they're gonna? You still think Gonzaga wins the game? They just don't cover.
Yeah, I that's the way I feel right now. But in game, if UCLA is close, I'm going to be rooting like heck to knock them off, and then I hope they just rub it in Gonzaga's face with that stupid celebration after that moron dunks every single time. I hope they rub it in his face in the Final Four. That's what I'm hoping on. They should be doing that right at the middle of the court, baby.
Who's he talking about? Timmy?
Yeah, Timmy. That's great. Yeah, great. You got a breakaway dunk against Creighton. Let's wave to the crowd. That's great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
You're 6'9", and you're dunking. You're dunking. That's great. Nobody's around you. That's great. Let's see what happens when somebody gets in your face.
Hey, Joe, how do you think you'd look with that Fu Manchu rocking? Like that, those handlebars or whatever you want to call it. I think
I would rock it. I don't know if I'd look good. I'd probably look like an idiot, but I would definitely rock something crazy, you know. For, you know, if you're that good and you're number one team in the country, yeah, you, as long as you back it up. But the celebration, I mean, that's the thing that just drives me nuts. I mean, the guy's celebrating, rubbing it in their face. I hope UCLA rocks them. I really do.
You know, I got to tell you, though, you have to admit, because I know you know your ball, this guy is going to be an absolute menace to society against them inside. He went into both Isaiah and Evan Mobley's face and dropped every conceivable big man low post move bucket that you could even draw up in the next 5 minutes. If you sat and told me every single shot known to man, the scoop, the mini hook, the kiss, the glass, the shovel, whatever, the got finger roll, the got dunk, that guy will do whatever he wants to them. I know they have a great defense, but those 2 7-footers, he humiliated them. What? There's no one that even matches up to him on that UCLA team. Now, I hit UCLA with the number. I think they have a great defense. But when you don't have what he has big man, grown man moves, size, and the greatest, let's face it, he's the greatest big man finisher in the game. I mean, he just finishes. And when he misses, he gets the rebound and puts it in. I mean, the guy literally, if he misses his first take, the second one's coming off his hand. And then that's that. And you know it. He's nuts good. Like, that guy can go off on anyone. I couldn't believe how he used those 2 7-footers. He used them like hookers. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Totally agree, Scotty. But this is the Final Four. You let it all hang out. You bang this guy. The 7-footers drop when you hit them low. That's all
listen,
I got
to say. Listen to him. Hit him low. Knock out his ankles. All right, the guy with the bad angle is Ju Jang. So he's the one with the bad angle. All right, we're going to come back with Joe Lisi and keep talking about these games and other stuff. We're talking to Joe Lisi. Butler has this kid Butler for, you know, Baylor, 16 a game, whatever. Mitchell, 14 a game. Teague scores. This guy Vital's gotten all physical on the glass and violent dunks. So you don't think Baylor's good, or you just think Houston's playing better ball than Baylor?
I think definitely Baylor's good. I think they're definitely a top five team. I just think Houston, to me, is an under the radar team that they're playing well. They're playing well within the system, and defensively, they can bang with Baylor. I mean, that was something that Arkansas couldn't do with them. I didn't think they were more of a finesse type of team down low. But I mean, this team, they just wear you down as the game progresses, and you know that's the style that Baylor plays. It's going to be, you know, mirror images of each other, and I don't think Houston's going to fear Baylor in this matchup. So I think they're a confident bunch as well. I like the way they're playing. I love Grimes. I love Sasser, even though he turns the ball over sometimes. But yeah, I think this, and the kid Giroux, the former UMass kid, he's just a gutty player. And you know what? Catching 5 points in a game like that, more pressure on Baylor. That's why I'm back in Houston in the matchup, Scotty.
So, and then in the other game, this kid, Kispert, can definitely shoot. When he's hot, he gets streaky. We already have talked about Timmy and Suggs, Ayayi. Mm-hmm. They have so many guys. Can you believe what this guy Few has accomplished up there and what he's turned that into a powerhouse, that school? It's amazing what he's done when you think about it. It's every year.
Right. Yeah, nothing taken away from what Coach Few has done with that team. I mean, they are legitimately the best team on paper in terms of the best team in talent-wise heading into the Final Four. It's just that now that we got there, and when you look at the gambling perspective, we have a hot UCLA team, we have a team in Houston that's battle-tested, I think they're both going to step up. And when you look at the market, just you know how they value Gonzaga after that blowout win against USC, you know, they went from 9 to now 14, and this is still a UCLA team that knocked off a physical group in Michigan. So, you know, I'm inclined to take those points. You know, whether they can pull this game out, I mean, would be a monumental victory, but you can never say never. A lot of pressure on Gonzaga to run straight through undefeated. So, you know, I'm sure that's going to creep into their minds against Mick Cronin and the crew.
What did you think of Juzang and the way he played and the way he shot the ball for UCLA?
I think he's the spark plug of the offense. I mean, you know, they wouldn't have made it through the first part of the tournament, you know, against Michigan State and against some of the other games, BYU, with him stepping up and draining, you know, shots. And he is the spark plug for that offense. If he has a bad game, they're going to get blown out of this matchup. So we'll see what transpires, and we'll see what plays out. You know, if he's ready to go and his ankle's okay, I think they cover this number.
You know, the Jacquez kid actually played great in other games, and then he did nothing in that game against Michigan. I think they need him to step up and get going again with some of his body and pump fakes under the basket and get involved low on the baseline and on the block. And he's got to score more. They cannot go into the, you know, last 10 minutes of that game, maybe the last 8 minutes of the game, they had three guys that had scored against Michigan. God only knows how they won that game. They got outshot, everything else. I know how Michigan closed. Mm-hmm. I know they missed 8 in a row. I know I thought the play drawn up to Wagner was terrible because Wagner was 1 of 10 from the line. So 1 of 9 at that point, and he was 0-for from downtown, and he had shot an air ball in his previous shot. His arms were like cement. And then in the last play with 0.5 left, I thought it was a terrible decision. Could you believe how bad they melted down shooting the rock?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, pressure sometimes does that, you know, and you know, pressure on Juwan Howard, too. I mean, you know, he's basically taking a step back from what John Beilein and the crew did, right? Taking the team to the Final Four, a lot of pressure on him to lead this team to an NCAA title, even with or without Livers in that matchup. So, you know, I agree with you. Terrible shot selection at the end. You know, the two air balls definitely didn't hurt. But I'll say this about UCLA. That type of game and that type of recipe where they slowed it down against Michigan, that's got to be the recipe against Gonzaga Saturday night. They cannot go up and down the floor and try to get it into a shootout, you know, the way they did against Michigan State. They're going to get blown out in that type of matchup. They need to slow it down, keep this game in the high 50s, 60s. If they can do that, they have a legitimate shot to cover the number. And like I said, if it's 5 minutes left and they're within 6 or 7, anything's possible at that point for the UCLA Bruins with the pressure.
You know, they've actually had great games in history when they beat Morrison and Gonzaga back in the day. They've had some great success against them, at the very least. And, you know, I gave a stat today that when they lead by 15, they're 204-0. I mean, that's crazy. Wow. So you don't even realize that until you actually see it for yourself. You're like, if they lead by 15 in a game, they're 204-0. I mean, that's crazy.
That's incredible.
And so, and what I saw was, I said this on the air today, I thought, and last night even when the game was going on, I thought Bonner kept trying to sell, no offense to him, I don't know him, but I thought he was trying to sell that USC was going to claw their way back one stop at a time and one bucket at a time, chip away. But that game was over 5 minutes into the game. 5 minutes in, that game was over. And at halftime, they were kicking their ass And at one point it was 23. That game was over. They were never, USC was never once even remotely in that game.
No, great point. And that was the mindset too. You know, you looked at the spread, you saw 9 points, you saw the Mobley twins. You said, okay, they can bang with Gonzaga down low and that they have an opportunity. You put it on and they're getting boat raced and within the first 7 minutes. You know, that's a mindset perspective. You know, that's going in timid. That's going in not confident in terms of your shot selections and not thinking that you can go toe-to-toe with the best team in the country. I just think, and I look at this team with Mick Cronin, and I just feel like this confidence with them. And they're not, you know, elite. They're just a bunch of players that are playing well at this point in time, and they're peaking. And that's what you want to see. You know, nobody, everybody's counting them out. Everybody was talking about Oregon State. But, you know, UCLA snuck up on everybody at this point.
Fair enough. Carver High, though, you know what? It's like this. I want to ask Carver High this. When you saw him, like everybody, you know, la-di-da, all I know is that no one shoots well against that team. Okay? That defense of theirs, no one shoots well against them. Meanwhile, we did a stat today on Coast to Coast. Every game UCLA played, they shot poorer than the team they beat. They had a lower shooting percentage than every single game they won. They had the lowest shooting percentage in the game. And then I'm telling you, if you can't shoot, because they had three guys scoring against Michigan the whole game, and they still won, and they did it by your what you're saying, drag it down, turn it into a street fight, and just get some ugly buckets and beat them. And that's what they did. I'm telling you that team they're playing, if you can't shoot to begin with, and then you go up against their defense and you can't shoot, you are dead meat. Carver High, what do you think? I mean, no one shoots well against Gonzaga because they play great defense.
No, I think that UCLA is going to try and do what USC tried to do last night, which is they wanted to muck the game up. They wanted to play slow. But if you're not hitting shots and if you're playing sloppy, within a minute and a half, 2 minute span, you look up and suddenly you're down 17-4. You know, like it just, they hit you so fast and so
That's
hard.
Right.
That and UCLA,
when you miss,
they can get very challenged offensively. And if they get down 17-4 early in that game, they're going to have a real hard time clawing back.
Joe, do you think it was better when the UCLA cheerleaders were at the game? Because I do.
Yes. Yes. 100%. 100%. Love it 100%. I'm all for that.
Does Gonzaga even have cheerleaders is the question.
They got a bulldog. That's all I know.
What would you have done if the USC and the UCLA cheerleaders were actually both at the Final Four? That would have been like a porno. It would have been the greatest thing ever. The hotness of the cheerleaders at the Final Four would have been tremendous. Now we're still, you know, they're not going to have any cheerleaders because of the COVID. But I think what they should do tomorrow, Joe, is vaccinate the UCLA cheerleading squad with the Johnson & Johnson one shot and just send them to the Final Four so that we can enjoy their grace and beauty and their cheers.
For it. Do we need to sign the petition?
I don't know. Carver, can we get this to happen? Can you write that down
in our journal? In today's day and age, I mean, we can have the online petition up in minutes. I mean, all we got to do is just boom, we make it happen. Let's get them to
Indy. It's like the sheet of integrity.
Just like it.
Tell Joe, because Joe earlier said that he thinks people that like baseball have three eyes. And tell him who your favorite sheet of integrity total is for your favorite team.
Yes, my number one pick for the baseball over-unders is the Marlins over 71.5. I think that they're going to be better than people think, just like last year in the short seasons. I think their young pitching is good enough. Over 71.5, minus -110. Give me the Marlins. Let's go, baby.
Boom. Hey, Joe, tonight, right. the Bucks are kicking the Lakers' ass right now. I just wanted to give you an update, Joe, really quick. It's very important. Drummond has still 4 points, one rebound. So they're in the second half. They played the entire third quarter, and he has sat since he played 14 minutes in the first half, and then he sat. And I don't know, maybe, like, I have to see. He has four fouls. That's why he's sitting. He has four fouls, and he's been atrocious. 4 points, four fouls. Drummond looking like he's in quicksand playing with the Lakers tonight. That is happening. And the Bucks are just spanking the Lakers' ass. 83-66, 3 minutes left in the third. Plenty of time left for the Lakers to come back and win by 12. Suns, 99-93. They lead the Bulls. They were laying 7, 8.5 left. Heat winners over the Pacers. The Timberwolves beat the Knicks. Embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Blazers won in Detroit big by 23. Mavs, 113-108 over the Celtics in Boston. The Nets with a bad beat. Rockets with a three at the buzzer. A bomb 30-footer covers the spread. A bad beat. They were up 15. They win by 12, 120-108. Jazz, 111-107 over the Grizzlies. I hit both ends of that. Thunder covered a spread. They beat the Raptors 113-103 in OKC at the Chesapeake. Spurs blow out the Kings tonight. So the five-gamer for the Kings is over. Thought I'd get all that in, Joe, and it's important that I give them this. Avs up 7-3 on the Coyotes in the third, 11.5 left. Kings 4-1 now on the Knights. It's because they wore those retro Calgary Flame red jerseys tonight in Vegas after two periods. Sharks 2-0 over the Wild. Sabres win. I bet on the Sabres tonight, Joe. They'd lost 18 in a row, and I bet on them, and they won 6-1 over the Flyers. Leafs 3-1 over the Jets. Joe, enjoy the Final Four. Always great having you on the bench, brother.
Anytime, guys. And Linder signed with the Mets, baby.
10 years, 341. Closest to the pin, Carver High. All right, Pharrell on the bench. The Bucks are kicking the Lakers' ass, 87-69. I wanted to go through one other thing, Carver High, that the Harden hamstring is a concern, obviously, to here in New York, to all the fans. Because, it was a tightened hamstring tonight, whatever. He left the game, never came back. They won the game. They got a burn, bad beat. They were laying 14 and a hook. They're up 15 with no time left. Rockets shoot a 25-30-footer. It falls for no reason whatsoever other than to just rip tickets and make people live it. But if he's injured, that's a real problem. If he's, if he's got a hammy and they got him sitting out 2-3 weeks now, we don't know that yet because he only sat out tonight. But they got a game tomorrow against the Hornets. And if he's not playing tomorrow, there's a problem. Because if he tweaked it tonight, then he's probably not playing tomorrow. You would guess, right? Unless it was absolutely nothing tonight. He just felt a tightness, and he just said, I just need to shut it down tonight and chill for a day. Otherwise, if he misses, then you got a problem. And then Drummond left the game with a toe injury, limping, hurting his toe tonight, leaving the game. I thought he was out. I thought he was out because of four fouls. But they're reporting it's a toe jam. He's got like a toe injury tonight, and he's done.
Give me a break.
I have seen it all.
Oh,
Suns up. The Suns up 4. 7 minutes left on the Bulls. Only up 4. And then the Avs now 8-3 on the Yotes in Denver. The Pepsi can. Crack a cold one. Kings, Knights 4-1 LA. Sharks 2-0 on the Wild. 7.5 left. Second period. Sabres 18-gamer ended. They beat the Flyers 6-1. Leafs 3-1 over the Jets. Flames, Canucks postponed because of a COVID case. The Nationals have COVID cases. I wonder if that's going to get canceled tomorrow with the Mets. All of a sudden, they got some COVID situations brewing.
Seems like they
don't forget tomorrow
up from the minors. They're going to.
Well, then I'm on the Mets tomorrow. I'm on 2 to 6 on Sports Grid, a 2-hour special for baseball, 2 to 4 with Joe Ranieri, and then Coast to Coast at 4 to 6. See you then.